This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Psalms 119, and when you're there, say amen. All right, we're waiting. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Psalms, right? All right, here we go. When you're there, Psalms 119 and verse number 105. When you're there, say amen. All right, we got four or five of you. Wait for the rest of you, all right? Psalms 119 and verse 105. When you're there, say amen. All right, that's the majority of people. One verse tonight, and why don't we read it out loud? Verse 105, ready? Let's read together. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A very simple verse. Let's read it again. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Tonight, I want you to be seated. We're going to talk about applying the Bible to daily living. Now, I want you to know that I love my Bible. I love the Word of God. I love reading the Word of God. I love the stories that are in the Word of God. I love it from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. I love the Bible, and you ought to love the Bible too. If you're saved and you're a born-again believer, you ought to be in love with the Word of God. If you believe that, say amen. And so I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jerry, I'm going to ask you to bring me my phone, and we're going to pray together because I got to call Jesus, all right? You bring me my phone, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. But most of all tonight, we thank you, Lord, for salvation. Bless us as we look into your word. Lead us and guide us and direct us by the power of your Holy Spirit, and we will thank you and praise you for who you are, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say with me tonight, amen. Now what I like to do is I like to keep my phone right there, not because I'm getting a text message. I'm wanting to maximize my time and see how long we're going, and so I've got 7:07. And so if you're taking notes and you're with us tonight, we're going to be here for probably just about 35 minutes, and I want you to see what the Bible says about applying the Bible to daily living. And I'm going to open up the sermon tonight by one of my favorite Bible teachers and authors, Chuck Swindoll. Chuck Swindoll has been an encouragement to me for many, many years. I remember when I worked in Chicago, I was working construction and I was running a crane. And in that crane, I was several hundred feet up in the air in that steel mill and running the crane. And I was in that cab, and they allowed a radio to be in there. And I came across the Moody Bible Institute radio station, the Moody station, and began listening to a guy by the name of Chuck Swindoll when I was 19 years old running that crane. And from that moment forward, I began listening to Chuck, and even still today, I have Chuck Swindoll's app. I read his books. I think he is an outstanding individual, loves the Lord, and has a lot of wisdom to say to us. And in one of his books that he has, he basically summarizes what I want to say to you tonight. This is the point we're trying to get across. Listen to what he says. He says, if I can have only one wish for God's people, it would be that all of us would return to the Word of God, that we would realize once and for all that his book has the answers. The Bible is the authority, the final resting place of our cares, our worries, our griefs, our tragedies, our sorrows, and our surprises. It is the final answer to our questions, our search. Turning back to the Scriptures will provide something that nothing else on the entire earth will provide. Turning back to the Scriptures. Turning back to the Bible will provide something else that the entire earth cannot provide for us. And so tonight, I want to return back to the Bible. I want us to fall in love with the Bible. And so as I begin preparing for the sermon, I came across an odd story. I thought it was a little unusual as I was looking at communication and reading about communication, and came across a story about the Pony Express. Do you guys remember the Pony Express? Well, if you remember the Pony Express, you are very, very old. This came about in the 1860s when the Pony Express came about. Today, we use the internet, we use email, text message, and all sorts of social media apps to try to get a message across. But back in the days of 1860, they used what was called the Pony Express. It was the fastest way back in those days That was around the days of the Civil War. It was the fastest way to get a message was by the Pony Express. And so I began reading about this, and it said young men were hired to ride 8 hours and 80 miles per day on horseback. Can you imagine that? 8 hours, 80 miles per day on horseback. More than 1,800 miles between St. Joseph, Missouri, and Sacramento, California, were linked together by 190 stations so that the mail could be delivered in 10 days as opposed to 25 days. And so men would sign up for this, and the men would ride 6 days a week for a salary of, catch this now, they had to do 8 hours, 80 miles per day, 6 days a week, for a big whopping salary of $125. And so I began looking at this, and here's what caught my eye. What was interesting about the Pony Express was not the miles that they traveled. What was interesting is about the gear that they had to have. They needed to pack very light so that the horses would go very fast. And so I began reading about the gear. And their gear included an ultra-light saddle, a Colt revolver, a lightweight coat, and a Bible. That was the gear for every single person that rode on the Pony Express. Traveling light, reducing the weight, ensured that the mail would get there in that 10-day deadline. The Pony Express only lasted for 18 months. In its inception in 1860, it lasted for 18 months. They traveled 650,000 miles. The Pony Express delivered 34,754 pieces of mail. And in that 18 months of its existence, it only lost one bag. However, the Bible was never ever considered excess baggage. The Bible was always important to every one of those men that would ride. They had their gun by their side and their Bible by their side. Sounds like the state of Georgia. Somebody say amen, right? Had your gun by your side and your Bible by your side. And they never, ever considered that weighty Bible. You think of all the pages that are found in the Bible. They never, ever considered the Bible as excess baggage. They loved the Bible. They wanted it near them. When they would travel, they would say that many men would set up a campfire and they would pray for protection along that long journey. And many of them would read the book of Psalms and they would pray unto God, asking God to protect them through the wiles of the night. They never considered that Bible as excess baggage. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you see the Bible as valuable? Do you see the Bible as valuable? Is that Bible that you hold in your hand, is it important to you? Is it important for you to read the pages of the Word of God? Is it important for you to systematically study the Bible? If you were to pack and go on vacation and you got all your belongings, I'm sure that you would make sure that you had your cell phone. You would make sure that you have your cell phone charger. You might take your iPad, or maybe your kids will take their gaming system. There'll be a lot that you're going to take. Let me ask you, would you be concerned about having your Bible? What I'm asking tonight is the Bible valuable to you? Is the Bible valuable to you, or is the Bible just excess baggage? It's just something that you're trying to hang on to as you do what is called life. You need to know tonight whether or not that Bible is valuable to you. I will tell you this, those that believe in the Bible, that love the Bible, that's been loyal to the Bible, that's lived out the Bible and the mandates of the Word of God, I can tell you this, they may not be the richest people on planet Earth, but they are the happiest people on planet Earth because they know that their Redeemer lives. If you believe that, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you know the Redeemer lives, amen? Let me answer the question, what has the final say in your life? Is it the Bible? What's going to help you to make decisions when you're looking for answers? Is it the Bible? What's going to help you when you lose your spiritual direction? Is it the Bible? It comes down to whether or not you and I are going to decide to live by the Bible, to be loyal to the Bible, and develop what I would call a biblical worldview. I thought this was interesting. Back in the days of Hosea, God rebukes the people of God for neglecting the word. And how he does it, he says these words in Hosea chapter number 8 and verse number 12. And listen to this. It says, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. And so I was wondering what this strange thing was. And in the Hebrew text, it literally is carrying the idea of a stranger or a foreigner. God was saying that my law, my word, my ways, they were like a stranger in the land. They were foreign. And when you think about a stranger for a moment. A stranger is living there in Israel, and it's really not his home. A stranger is not at home. He can't be comfortable if he's a stranger. He has no permanent dwelling place if he is a stranger. And he has no voice. He has no say-so in anything if he's a stranger in the land. This is how God compares his word with his people in the days of Hosea. He is saying that my word has no say. My word has no voice. My word has no permanent dwelling. My word is like a stranger among the people. And God is saying, you have treated my word as a stranger. It has no voice. It has no say in the daily affairs of life. You're treating it like a stranger. I was thinking about that, and I put it on Twitter today, that it's easy to become a church that takes pride in believing the Bible literally, but they really don't take it seriously. And we can sit here and you can argue the King James Version and you can argue all of this all you want to. And you can talk about the Bible being a literal version and you can sit there and argue with me all you want to. We are good and we do well in believing and taking the Bible literally. But sadly, many of us don't take the Bible seriously. And it's time for you and I, who are saved by the grace of God, to take the Bible seriously, to take the Bible at its word. Somebody say amen. You understand what I'm saying? We say, oh, we believe in a literal interpretation. We believe in a word-for-word Bible. We believe all this and that. We believe in a King James Bible, bless God, and we might even hack a little bit when we say it. But we are not serious about living our lives according to the word. I want to be both. I want to take the Bible literally, and I want to take the Bible seriously. Why? The Bible tells me to. Listen to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. If you catch anything tonight, catch this. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell. Underline the word dwell. The Greek text means to be completely at home. That's what the word means. Let the word of God dwell, be completely at home in your heart, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Let the word of God be at home in your heart. Let the word of God be comfortable in your heart. Let the word of God rebuke you. Let the word of God encourage you. Let the word of God find its place within your heart. You see, there's a part that God does, and there's a part that I have to do. And I've got to make room in my heart for the word of God. I can't push it aside. I can't close the door. I can't shut the shutters. I have to be open. I have to be open unto the word of God. I've got to let the word of God talk about my sin. I have to let the word of God talk about my bad habits. I have to let the word of God rebuke me when it comes to my bad hopes. I have to let the word of God encourage me and enable me and establish me. And so I'm going to ask you the same question again. Do you value the Bible? Or is the Bible on your journey of life? Is it just excess baggage that you feel like is slowing you down from doing what you want to do? Tonight, I want to show you two great reasons why you need the Bible. Two wonderful reasons why you should apply the Bible every single day to your life. There should not be one day that goes by without you reading your Bible. I met with a couple this week, and we were talking about spiritual things and trying to mentor and do some discipleship. And I told them, I said, go home and I want you to read the book of Psalms. And as you're reading the book of Psalms, I want you two to pray together and call upon God. And whatever God brings to your mind as you are reading that Bible, I want you to pray that back to the Lord. And it's great for us to be people who are engaged in prayers. But if we're not reading our Bible, you need to know that the Bible is like the wind in the sails of prayer. It's the best way that I can put it. The Bible is like the wind and the sails of prayer. They need to go hand in hand. It's great for us to pray, and it's great for us to say that we are a praying people. Praying people are powerful people. Prayerless people are powerless people. But you need to be reading the Word of God also. Prayer alone is not going to get the job done. You need to read the Word of God and find the will of God for your life. And as you find the will of God, you bring those two together, reading the Bible and praying, and it helps you to go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking the question, why should I read my Bible? Why should the Bible be important to me? Well, number one, we should use the Bible basically so that the Bible can guide us. To guide us in what we believe. We use the Bible to guide us in what we believe. Now, you may not have known this, and maybe you do. Did you know that the term Bible is not even in the Old Testament, nor is it found in the New Testament? You can search your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will never find the word Bible. The Bible will call the Scripture, the Old and New Testament calls it the Scriptures. Jesus in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, and beginning at Moses, that's the Pentateuch, the first five books of the law, the Pentateuch, Moses' books, and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all of the Scriptures. The word that the Old Testament and the New Testament uses is Scriptures. And the Bible says that when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus with these two disciples, he began in the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He went through those first five books of the law, and then all the prophets he expounded. The word expound there is the word exegete. He takes the word of God and he opens it up and he shows these men the person of Jesus Christ from Genesis all the way to the end of the Old Testament. And Jesus called them the Scriptures. The word Scripture is the Greek word graphe, and we get our English word graph from it. It means that something that was written. That's what the word means. Something that was written. God calls his word. He calls his Scripture something that is written. God wrote his word down. Verbal communication wasn't enough. God wrote his word down. Why did he write it down? So I wouldn't forget it, so I could study it, so I could memorize it, so I could go to it time and time again and allow the Bible to be the traveler's map, to allow the Bible to be my guide when I feel like I'm shipwrecked and I'm needing a lighthouse. I can look to the Bible, the word of God. God wrote his word down so you and I could read it and study it and believe it. You say, Brother David, I need to be doing more, and I agree. You need to be doing more. You say, well, I come to church on Sunday, and I come to church on Sunday night, and I'm coming to Sunday school. Isn't that enough? I want you to know that the Bible is like vitamins to the soul, and you need to read your Bible every single day. You may be asking, why is that important? Why is Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday and maybe a group study, why is that not enough? Because you need to read the Word of God every single day to help you to form a biblical world view. Now, how many of you will agree with me tonight that our world is changing at a rapid pace? I mean, rapidly. There are things that are changing. There are ethical issues that are changing. There are logical issues that are changing. There are theological issues that are changing. Our world is changing at such a rapid pace that you need to bury your nose in the pages of the Word of God and form a biblical world view. Chuck Colson put it this way many, many years ago. He said, the culture war is not just about abortion. It's not just about homosexual rights or the decline of public education. These are only skirmishes. I agree with this. Listen, the real war is a cosmic struggle between world views, between the Christian worldview and the various secular and spiritual worldviews arrayed against it. That's where we're at. You say, Brother David, are we in a war? Certainly. It is a war of two worlds. It is a war of the devil, and it's the war of God. And those two worlds are colliding with one another each and every day, and we are caught in the middle of this massive spiritual cosmic war. And there are things that are changing on the battlefield each and every day. The only way for us to win spiritual victories is to have the spiritual direction of the Word of God. We can't fight spiritual battles without spiritual weapons. And the greatest weapon that you have, it is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God will get the job done every single time. Somebody say amen. So we need the Bible. And the Bible's going to help you, listen, to form a biblical worldview. Things that will help you to fight against the bad ethics of science, abortion, homosexuality, social issues. It will help you to articulate what you believe about the cause of God within the world, within your life. You see, there are some people that despise the Bible today. They literally despise it. They don't want to have anything to do with the Word of God. And the more I watch cable television, and I hear some of our politicians today, they are not like the politicians of yesteryears. I was reading today from some of our presidents and some of the things that they have said in their prayers and how they implored God and they called upon God. But today, we got politicians that will curse God's face. We got politicians that are telling us that we need to tear some pages out of the Bible and change the Bible and reword the Bible. I want you to know, friend, when the world's on fire, there's one thing that will never, ever change, and that is God's holy word. Somebody say amen. And so there are people today, they despise the Bible. There are others that deny the Bible. They hate the Bible. They deny the truth of the Bible. They deny the authority of the Bible over their life. There are those that like to distort the Bible. They want to twist it and turn it and make it say what they want it to say. I think one of the most dangerous things that's happened in the church and in the religious world is these multiple versions that are out there that twist the Word of God and distort the Word of God in such a way that there is a departure from truth. Listen, when you write, if you're writing a book and you need 17 versions of the Bible to articulate your biblical opinion, I want you to know you are all jacked up. Somebody say amen. And you know, when Rick Warren come out with his purpose-driven church many, many years ago that rocked a lot of the churches, there was probably 17 different versions of Scripture in that Bible to prove his point. I don't need 17 different versions of a translation to understand what the Bible has to say. All I need is some common sense, a good dictionary, and even the Spirit of God to lead me and guide me, and I'm going to be just fine. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother David. All right? So they distort the Bible. They manipulate the Bible because they need crowds and they need coins in their pockets. They despise the Bible. They deny the Bible. They distort the Bible. They dissect the Bible. They try to take the Bible and place it under a microscope only to discredit it and to tear it apart. They dissect the Bible. Some disregard the Bible. That is, they give lip service to the Bible, but their life is far away from the Bible. So we got all sorts of people out there today, those that will despise, deny, distort, dissect the Bible, disregard the Bible. But there is this large group of people still today that depend on the Bible. And I'm hoping that those people are sitting in this room, that you are depending on the Word of God. The Bible said in our text, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path." Those are people that are depending on the Word of God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Luke chapter 4, verse number 4, "Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Jesus makes it clear that the Word of God is like food to you and I. It's spiritual food, spiritual vitamins that we need. The Apostle Paul would say it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and verse 17. All Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, you need it all. Somebody says, well, we don't need that Old Testament. It was under the law. The book of Romans says that the Old Testament was written for your learning. And so you learn about Daniel. You learn about Jonah. You learn about Amos. You learn about Habakkuk. You learn about the great men and women of faith. And the Bible says it's written for our learning, every bit of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means God breathed, that God breathed upon this, that he was the one that was superintending the entire process. He took the Bible writers and he used them in a mighty way, and God breathed upon these pages that we have, his very breath. This is God's holy word. Somebody say amen. And so the Bible says, listen, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is, what's the first word? Profitable. There you go. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You need to know that from Genesis to Revelation, every bit of it, it is profitable for your life. And the Bible says it is profitable for doctrine, that is healthy teaching. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God, that the church, the Christian, the believer, that the man of God may be perfect. He's talking about spiritual maturity. That the man of God may be spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We will never have the good works that we need apart from the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need our faith. We need prayer. We mash it all up together and we do something great for the glory of God. If you believe it, say amen. This is what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying that we use the Bible to guide what we believe. Now, I think it's real important for us to understand that there are two ditches out there. There's nothing worse than falling in a ditch, right? Nothing worse than falling off the road and getting yourself in a bind. There are two of them. Number one, you got legalism. We are living in a world of such legalism. I'll never forget here recently, well, matter of fact, it was several years ago, I went to a camp meeting, and during that camp meeting, all I heard the entire time I'm at the camp meeting is this preacher just rambling about homosexuality, and he preached more on King James than he did King Jesus. Now, I want you to know, I'm a 1611 guy, and I believe, well, as a matter of fact, that 1769 is not the 1611. For if I just popped your balloon, you're not reading a 1611, you're reading a 1769 edition if you're using the King James Version. But anyhow, I am a King James Version guy, and all God's people can say, amen. But God never called me to preach about King James. God called me to preach about King Jesus. And the problem today is we have this legalistic mindset that is out there, and it is souring and it is damaging our churches, that we lord over people and we manipulate people. And if you don't do what I do and hate what I hate and like what I like, we can't have fellowship. I want you to know that's hogwash. It's nowhere in the Word of God. The Bible says this. Jesus even noticed in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 6, Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I love what Albert Barnes had to say about leaven. He said, leaven is used in making bread. Well, we know that, right? He said, it is used to pass through the flour and cause it to ferment or to swell and become light. It passes secretly and silently, but certainly. No one can see its progress. So it is with the doctrine of the Pharisees. Legalism occurs when you substitute your opinions for God's word. Legalism occurs when you elevate your opinion to the status of scripture. When we start substituting our opinion for God's word, and we take our personal opinion about a matter and we elevate it on the status of scripture, man, you have fallen into the ditch of legalism. When you become intolerant to somebody else's view and how they worship God, when you become angry and bitter and you say that you've got to do what I do, you've got to like what I've liked, you've got to hate what I hate, when you get to that point, you need to know you have fallen into the trap of legalism. And you're not going to fool me. And there's a lot of others that you won't fool. I want you to know there is no room for legalism at Parkway Baptist. We're going to believe the Bible. We're going to lift up the Bible. We're going to worship God's holy name. And we're not going to succumb to a man's opinion or a man's evaluation of something. We're going to live by the Word of God. Woo! Glory to God. Somebody say amen. The Bible teaches you and I, it's a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. And so there is the ditch of legalism. There is the ditch of liberalism. And that's where anything goes. Now, I believe we ought to have rules. And I believe we ought to have certain parameters, certain ways, certain things that we believe to be true. We need to have conviction. If you believe we need conviction, say amen. Building a biblical ministry helps us to have conviction. But we need to beware that we don't fall into this ditch of liberalism where the sheepfold of God becomes like a common zoo, where we allow just anything to happen. We have no ethics. We have no logic. We have abandoned our theology. We're like the world. We want to turn the church into the world. God never called the world to change the church. God called the church to change the world. And so it's easy for us to get kind of sucked up into this worldview. And the Bible makes it plain to us that that can happen. Isaiah 62, verse 10 and verse 20, to verse 12, the Bible says, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughters of Zion, behold, the salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. They shall be called the redeemed of the Lord. And I would hope that when people come in here, that's exactly what they see. Not a group of legalists. Not people that are liberal, but people that are biblicist. People that are taking the Word of God and rightly dividing it and applying it to their life. You know, this is a true story that actually came out of a medical doctor's life. He said while he was in college, he is listening to the professor, and the professor is lecturing on his notes, and this went on for weeks. Well, the student doctor realized that the guy lecturing, his notes were not corresponding with the notes in the book. As a matter of fact, everything he was saying was dramatically different from everything that was in the book. And so it bothered him. And to his own testimony, he said he went up and he talked to the professor and said, listen, I've been reading my text and I've been listening to your lectures, and there are various points at which your lectures disagree with the textbook assigned for the class. The professor said, really? He said, why don't you bring me your textbook and show me where the textbook disagrees? The student said, sure. So he brought it up there, and he opened it up, and he started showing him page after page, showing him where it all didn't line up with his lectures. He said, do me a favor, number those pages for me. And so the student said, sure. And so he numbered all the pages, and he put a little sticky note on each page, and he gave the textbook back to the professor. The professor grabbed the boy's textbook. He ripped those pages out of that book. He wadded them up. He threw them in the garbage, and then he handed the book back to the boy and said, there, now your book agrees with me. And you know, we are a whole lot like that professor. You think about it. There are ways that we mentally rip out pages of the Word of God. That doesn't line up with me. That doesn't jive with me. I don't want to do what God tells me to do. I don't want to be that type of person. I don't want to be that committed. I don't want to be that faithful. And so what we decide to do in our mind is mentally we are ripping out pages of the Word of God where the Bible now agrees with my worldview. Listen, God never called us to live by our opinion. God never called us to live by man's ideas. God called us to live by his word. And we need to apply the Bible on a daily basis to where I am taking the scripture and it is guiding my life. If you believe that, say amen. Well, second of all, you guys have been great. Let me give you the second point. not only the Bible will guide us in what we believe, but the Bible will also guide us in how we behave. In how we behave. Not only helping me develop a biblical worldview, but also getting my attitude in check and helping me to do the right thing. Listen, the Bible says it is a lamp unto our feet and it is a light unto our path. It's a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. It is talking about our mental development. It's going to help me to see what I need to be for the honor and the glory of Christ. The Bible often talks about our feet and a path. Psalms 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Proverbs 2, verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the path of thy righteousness. Every one of those verses, they are talking about obedience. They are talking about us obeying the word of God, a path of obedience. You need to know that the Bible is not the book of the month for you just to read. It's the book of the ages for us to obey. The Bible has been tried, people have tried to trample out the Bible. They have tried to destroy the Bible. But that Bible that you hold in your hand, it has outlived, outloved, outlifted, it has outreached and outranked every other book that has ever been written. You can't get rid of it. You can't get around it. You can't jump over it. You can't dig under it. We will stand one day and we will be judged by the very pages of the very Word of God. And so we need to love the Word of God and be loyal to it and live it out in every way that we can. You know, the ultimate statement about the Bible was stated by the greatest man ever, which was Jesus. And this is what the Lord said about the Bible. John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Listen, thy word is truth. That is the greatest statement from the greatest man in all of the word of God. Sanctify them, Lord, through thy truth. Sanctify them through the Bible. The Bible, your word, it is truth. You know, I've heard some people say, well, I'm just going to let my conscience be my guide. Well, that's a dangerous statement, is it not? Because your conscience might be a seared conscience. The Bible talks about a seared conscience. You may have no conscience at all, and you'll do just about anything. You don't care. You don't care who's watching. You don't care what damage it does. You don't care who it affects. You have no conscience at all. So allowing my conscience to be my guide is a very dangerous way to live. The best way for me to live is through the pages of the Word of God. We must use the Bible to guide what we believe, and we must use the Bible to gauge how we behave. I told you I was reading from some presidents this afternoon, and John Adams, he said in his daily diary that he wrote down some thoughts concerning his relationship to America and the Bible. And listen to what he said. He said, suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. What a utopia, what a paradise this region would be. And when I read that, I thought, I'm going to substitute the word church in there. And it would read like this then. Suppose a church in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts that are exhibited. What a utopia, what a paradise this church would be. Just suppose we not only take the Bible literally, but we start taking the Bible seriously, and we start building a biblical church that's based on soul winning, that's based on worship, that's based on the Word of God. Not gimmicks and games, but the gospel. Not things that are fancy and fanatical, but things that are faithful. Those true biblical tools that God gives us. Just what if we said, we're going to live by the Bible? What a utopia and what a paradise this church would be. You know, I read a story of some soldiers. There was 80 of them, and they were trapped in a forest fire. And they were trying to put the fire out, but the fire overcame them and overcame the area and surrounded them. And so they're surrounded by the fire and they're surrounded by the smoke. And a helicopter cruised over the top to look at the situation to see how he could help. And so he took three notes and he tied it to some weights and he dropped those notes down in the middle of that fire circle where those 80 men were at. They ran over and they grabbed the weight, they opened it up and they seen the note. And the note told them that I can see a channel ahead. You need to go in this direction. You need to begin walking right now. You only have a few minutes before that channel will close. I can see you. It's all right. Begin walking now. When those men read those directions and they read the note, they didn't question that helicopter's authority. They didn't say, well, I wonder if the pilot really knows what he's talking about. They didn't argue with him. They didn't say, what right do you have to command us? We're soldiers. We're foot soldiers. You're just a pilot up in the air. They didn't argue. They didn't question his authority. They simply obeyed. And they escaped the fire. And they lived to see another day. You know why they lived? Because they knew that there was a message from above, from the only person that could see the problem and provide a solution. And I want you to know tonight that if we're going to escape the fires of hell, if we're going to escape the fires of life, there is a message from above, from the only person that can see my sin problem and see my struggle and see my situation. And he's provided a solution. And that solution is Jesus Christ. God died on an old rugged cross so that you and I could have redemption and freedom and power with God. And I got news for you. He's coming back one grand and glorious day. Don't you give up. Don't you give out. Don't you give in. Jesus Christ is on his way. Somebody say amen in the house of the Lord. God has the answer tonight. And that answer is found in the pages of the Word of God. You need the Bible for daily living to guide you in your belief and to help you to gauge how you need to behave in this crazy, rapid, changing world that we are living in. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.